Hey gang, welcome back. So we watched stuff number 120. Slowly getting to 200. Yep. I meant 150, but I said 200. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying themselves this week. So, and hope they're speaking better than I am.
Yes. Great start. I'm already jumping ahead. 80 episodes. You're tongue-tied. 28 seconds in. Let's do this. Well, we discussed what we were going to talk about, but we discussed what we want to do first. So, let's go with a little wrestling talk. This is something I brought up right before we started. For those who don't watch wrestling, fast forward 15 minutes. Or, you know, maybe we'll make you interested in wrestling. So, Monday night, SmackDown invaded, I guess if you want to call it that. They invaded Raw and beat up everybody that was there, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much everybody, right? Oh, except Brock Lesnar, who was like,
who already said like, I don't give a damn about brand. Whatever brand I'm on, this is the better brand.
Well, okay. Did they forget to take the camera off him? We'll get the invasion in a second. Did you notice how fast he hightailed it out of there?
You mean after the promo?
Yes.
Yeah, he gets paid like he got stuff to do. He always power walks when he's like, you know, if he's just there for Paul Heyman to talk, is like, okay, we done, all right. He probably got the car in neutral, so
yeah. I was just laughing because most of the time they'll cut away from that. They'll go to the announce desk, go to a commercial, go to replay or something. They showed him, and it was right to the backstage. I was expecting somebody to come out and attack him. I thought like Jinder was going to be there, like hit him with a belt or something. Because I'm like, this is going way too fast. Because most of the time, you know, even if they're off camera, the wrestlers, you know, they sell their stuff. You know, they jaw with fans, you know, whatever. Brock had no time for that. And it made me laugh. Because it was like, yeah, I'm paid to be here. I'm not paid by the minute. So, peace out. Like, I got my money. And I don't really blame him for it either. So, that was one thing. I really love the promo that they did too. So, but the important here is the wrestlers. Shane McMahon showed up at the beginning, which made sense because they were thinking about AJ Styles. I was like, oh, okay, that's why he's there. Never once for a second did I expect that ending, because I actually turned Raw off because I had no desire to see a 10-man tag with the cruiserweights. And then they proceeded to beat the hell out of everybody. Have you seen the memes going around of poor Dana Brooke running?
Oh, yes, I have. Is that a trick question? I have seen it. The last one I saw before we started the show was on one head her pretending to be the Flash.
Now I got to see this. So.
Oh, man. But no. It's funny. Well, I was watching the Eagles game and the Sixers game. So I was like kind of – I watched the beginning of Raw when AJ Styles showed up. I watched bits and pieces of – Raw, then I watched the Paul Heyman promo, and then all of a sudden I just happened to turn to Raw, and I'm like, why is Shane McMahon out there with the whole SmackDown squad look like a bunch of Crips? So I went back and watched, and I'm just laughing my ass off at the whole thing. They just showed up and just jumped the whole Raw roster.
Yeah, like everybody.
And yeah, and normally, like, you know, Survivor Series is kind of like, oh, we do this brand stuff. We haven't seen one where it's like they just beat up, you know, more like they might jump one or two people, say, you know, we're going to prove we're a better brand. One brand just doesn't show up to the show and just beat up the other brand. Like, they just, and it wasn't like, you know, we're going to beat up a pile. If they beat up, like, a bunch of jobbers, and that's one thing. If you was on the show, basically, your name wasn't, like, Brock Lesnar or Finn Balor, you got beat up.
Oh, that's true. Like Finn wasn't there either, or Kane.
Yeah, like Kane, like basically the people who got the talk and had a match, like those three were fine. Everybody else was like, you get in the business. And just seeing, like, you know, of course seeing Dana Brooke just run for her life. And kudos for her running in heels, like, you know, because she was moving. And it's funny how Alexa and Emma were running, and no one even noticed because Dana Brooke just looks so ridiculous, just hauling ass. Seeing how they came up to like Apollo Crews and Titus and jumped them, seeing how Chad Gable jumped Jason Jordan,
like pushed people out of the way to get to him. I'm like, that makes total sense, actually.
Like, you know, like Becky Lynch just leading the way for the women, jumping the other women while the guys cheer. I'm like, this is like a damn gang fight. And I gotta say, when they went and just grabbed Kurt Angle and dragged his ass back to the ring, I was like, this is hilarious. I just started dying laughing because it was just so, it was like, this is one of the reasons why I love wrestling, because of the ridiculous of it. Like, you know, Shane McMahon just showing up with his crew just to beat up everybody on the show and just to, like, you know, like, they just want to show you how things are. We're going to see you at Survivor Series. Seeing people going on Instagram and Twitter talking about, you know, the Under Siege hashtag, and like Apollo Crews posting like an old video of Shane and Kurt Angle wrestling King of the Ring, talking about, you thought we forgot, like, Shane has a long memory. Like, just little stuff like that was just hilarious. And I was just, I know people had an issue with it, saying, oh, you know, this is contrived and yada yada. I'm like, we do this with Survivor Series all the time. And at least in this case, they've been making fun of each other, like the brands, since they had the first, like, since they made it like brand specific again. Like, I remember the jokes Daniel Bryan and Shane made at Raw when they like had the Universal belt, like, what, you couldn't name it a galactic title?
Yeah,
was like, they've been making jokes about who's the better brand. People on brand, like SmackDown, has definitely made a concerted effort saying, you know, we're the best show, we're going to prove we're the A brand. And there's been stories where, like, I think once or twice they got better ratings than Raw.
Yes, so when it first started. Now that's when they did the brand, what is it, the Superstar Shakeup. Mm-hmm. That's when they did the Superstar Shakeup. And then all of a sudden SmackDown's ratings started going down because they took all their star power away.
Yeah, so at least in this case, it's been an issue where, you know, there's been a reason for them doing this, besides the whole thing. Like, it's besides the fact, like, it's Survivor Series, that's what they do. And I like the fact where you didn't see Kevin Owens and you didn't see Sami Zayn. And they acknowledged that on SmackDown. I know Kevin talked about he'd be shocked. He would be wondering if Raw was going to show up. And I'm like, you know, of course you expect Raw to show up because it's like, it's the day after. But like, on one hand, like, they just got their ass beat. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's kind of like, let it breathe. Like, this way, it's kind of like, you don't know if they're going to come, but you don't know when, but you know they are. And it's just in the back of your mind.
And that was my thing. See, what I liked about that was, I saw Kevin's tweet about, you know, if they don't show up, I'll start laughing. And at first I was like, yeah, they need to retaliate. But then the way Daniel Bryan, like the way they played it up on SmackDown, I thought was pretty good. I mean, the way, you know, because you expected it. And for once, it's like, all right, they didn't give us something we expect. And with Daniel Bryan, like a little bit of dissension between him and Shane McMahon, like, I wouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that too. And it kind of like, and it's kind of like Daniel Bryan's being like the voice of dissension. Is almost like, I don't know how much they're gonna play it off as, is he gonna turn? Is he kind of like, because he wasn't, you know, like rah rah with it. He was like, you know, I don't know if this is the wise idea. And it plays into the whole thing with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens' problem with Shane McMahon. Like, Shane McMahon is this tyrant, this bully, pretending to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to wonder, it's kind of like, because it was out of, it's funny, it's, I did laugh at the picture that they all took when they had like the whole SmackDown roster, like Nakamura in the background, and you see him Baron Corbin like hand in hand with Dolph Ziggler and all that stuff. And that, and it was kind of funny because, like, one, you didn't see like the people, I laughed at the people you didn't see, like Randy Orton wasn't there, Shelton Benjamin wasn't there, and like main people, like the two main people I noticed. And then like seeing, I gotta say, Becky Lynch is just so hilarious because she's like, she's Miss Goody Goody. She's like probably one of the best baby faces they have, and she's kind of like a, you know, a goofball that's lovable. Seeing her be like a nice bully and try to play all tough, even though she's like silly as hell, always gets a laugh out of me. And like them fighting over who's gonna be like captain of the team and everything, I'm like, I'm gonna be Captain B and I'm gonna be the captain and run shit and yada yada yada. No, it's hard to take her seriously as being tough because she's just bubbly and just so damn goofy. Mm-hmm. But it helps that she can wrestle and like really beat your ass in the ring.
I remember she was on Jericho's podcast talking about how she wants to turn heel, and she's like, you know, most of the, you know, their office, whatever you want to call it, doesn't see me as a heel, and I'm just begging them to do it. I'm like, Yeah, she'd really have to tone down because she's got a pretty her popularity is pretty substantial just because of how goofy she is, you know. But I don't know. I mean, she's also kind of a nerd too.
Yeah, but she was a good heel on NXT though. Like people tend to forget, like when her and Sasha was like a tag team. Like she was fine as a heel, like basically being the woman Scott Steiner suplexing the shit out of everybody and being like a damn monster. But it's hard thinking about that now, seeing like she's all bubbly and nice and her goofy puns and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I'm curious to see where it goes and how it goes. And I'm thinking, considering the fact that, you know, it's Survivor Series and normally they don't really have anything to do. And it's like, do you really want to see SmackDown versus SmackDown, Raw versus Raw? It's like, they don't have enough people on the roster to really have to do that. This way, it's like, the matches speak for themselves, even if it's kind of like, it's not necessarily like a face-face, a heel-heel thing. Like, you know, this one is kind of like Miz Baron Corbin. You wouldn't normally see a heel versus heel match. I'm curious to see that match. It's like two gas bags just running their mouths. Like, it's, at first glance, you wouldn't think of like that's something you want to see, but it's like, okay, they both like to talk. They both hateable. They hateable in different ways. So, you know, why not? And then the same thing with, like, Alexa Bliss and Natalya. I definitely want to see, like, the Shield versus the Usos because it's kind of like,
yeah,
that speaks for itself. I still laugh at the whole thing with, like, Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal because you brought it up, and I know you want to talk about, yeah, that Paul Heyman promo. Like, I'm expecting Jinder to win because they just buried him, put a casket over the grave and a tombstone on top of the casket.
Yeah, and especially knowing that it's a non-title match, which, you know, they haven't actually addressed that, by the way. So, but I can't imagine them making that a title match, because if it is, it's automatically, you know, it's going to be a DQ or a count out or some shenanigans, something like that. So they have to make it a non-title match to make it actually interesting. But, yeah, there's how many weeks? 3 weeks before Survivor Series?
3 weeks? Two. It is it's like the second week of November, I think.
Oh, wow. All right, so it's really moved to
weeks. No, third week of November, because it's before Thanksgiving.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, yeah, there's a lot of time then. So, but what was funny, like they're building up Paul Heyman answered and was building up the match with, you know, Jinder and Brock Lesnar, okay? But then on SmackDown, it was all about Jinder and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Like, just immediately, like, hey, yeah, we did that. Okay, next. Like, no, guys, aren't you supposed to follow up here? Because, you know, we just spent all that time on the last show talking about the other thing. But I was starting to laugh when you were talking, because have you seen the one with Dana Brooke running with the Shield?
Yes.
It's almost perfect. I mean, it's so close. I don't know. The people do some creative stuff on here.
In such a short time frame, like within 5 minutes of it happening, they're just up. It's kind of like, you know, the power of technology and GIFs. You can just, like, you know, all you need is imagination. It's just imagination runs. And I don't know what's more, I mean, I guess we could talk about after last thing. I don't know what's more, like, notable or, like, how awesome was Dana Brooke running the hills or Mickey James doing that DDT with 6-inch heels.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm like, I couldn't even think I could walk. And yeah, like the fact that they pointed out, like, wow, she did that in the hills, guys, it's kind of like, yeah, that takes talent. And kudos to Mickey James, you know, in the twilight of her career still showing off.
Yeah, that whole thing, I was glad they finally addressed that, because that whole thing where they kept calling her old and shit, I'm like, she's not that old. And I'm glad she actually addressed that. And pointed out, hey, there's a bunch of guys on the roster that are older than me, by the way.
Uh-huh, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm not the oldest woman, which she's not, because Tamina's still there. And two, it's like, it's plenty of guys, especially you bringing Kane back. It's like, and you having him in, like, serious matches. Talking about Mickie James being old is kind of like, yeah, it's like, she's not, if she's old, what are they?
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I mean, I like how they kind of dropped that too. Like, it was done, but then of course Alexa did bring it up a little bit on Monday. But yeah, that whole thing just rang so hollow. And whatever. It is what it is. But then Mickey got to do that great promo at the end of her match, even though she lost, about how I'll be back.
Yeah, so, like it worked out. She's definitely taking advantage of her being back. Like, you know, this, and it's just out of nowhere, because it was kind of like she was an afterthought when she got on Raw, because it was all, you know, Bayley and Sasha and Alexa and Nia Jax and stuff, and then they plugged Emma in there, and it's kind of like Mickie James was the odd woman out. So the fact that, you know, she got plugged back in, got a pay-per-view match, and it's like still feuding, it's kind of like giving her a run is like good. Like, they're giving her a chance, and she shows she deserves a damn chance. So kudos to her.
I don't even know why it would be a question if Mickie James deserves a chance or not. Like, are we kidding with that?
Age.
Yeah. Well, no. And that's the whole thing. It's like she was, and this is the one thing about some of the people who were in TNA, whether the fact that they won't admit them that they exist is still kind of funny. But you were TNA. You worked, what, 3 nights a month, maybe 4 with a pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
And that lasted you for, what, 2-3 months? I mean, even when they weren't at their most terrible like they are now, you didn't work that much. So, all you know, even though you're old, and that's where she was for the longest time, you know, you still got a lot of miles on those tires, if you want to put it like that. So the fact that she's 36, she's a 26-year-old, 36-year-old. But they see it differently, and whatever.
It's because she's a woman, and only that, she's a mom. And not only that, it's kind of like she's a mom.
True.
And it's kind of like nothing, you know, the fact that a lot of the women, they have babies, that's it. They do not come back. Like, you know what, I'm enjoying being a mom. I'm enjoying being a mom. Do I really want to go on the road and have an on-the-road body and stuff? And the fact that she came back, she's in better shape now than she was, like, when she was first there, is kind of like, that's amazing. They don't normally, women, it'll probably change now with how they treat women. But back in the days, like, once she was, like, around 30, 31, it was like they were leaving. Like, the Kellys and the Eves and the Maurices and Michelle McCool. Like, Layla was the exception, not the rule. Like, she stayed until she was in her mid to late 30s. Most of the time, Victoria was there till she was, like, her mid to late 30s. Most of the time, by the time they was, like, 29, they looking at the clock. Like, you know what? I'm tired of just eating kale and doing crunches all damn day and taking fat burners so I can have a six-pack and chili and China and Sheboygan. Like, what am I doing?
Yeah, that was always a funny thing, because even Victoria, I think, got the you're too old sort of deal. Because when she left, it was, you know, because they stopped using her for a while, and she didn't fit the look, and I was like, okay. I don't know. I know, like, other forms of entertainment, if you want to put it that way, you know, women have it rougher, because it's funny, the people who try to disagree with that, and you look and go, okay, so what happened to this person? Well, it used to be age, and the reason I say age is because that was the common theme. Well, now we're starting to find out why. There's a whole other reason why, but in wrestling especially, I mean, you got called old when you were 30.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, you know, it's could probably be sued for age discrimination, none of them were going to do it.
Yeah. I would just say, like you bring up, talking about the whole women thing, Olivia Wilde, it talks about how she was considered too old to play certain people's boyfriends. Come on, like, look at her ass. Like, I used to make the joke, alien beautiful. Like, she's alien beautiful. And the whole fact of, like, she gets, like, her and Anne Hathaway talking about, oh, we get old people roles now. Like, that's like Maggie Gyllenhaal might as well be a grandma, the way they treat her and, like, Hollywood, stuff like that. And these are, like, young women. And the same thing is kind of like, you know, oh, you kind of over the hill. You don't have what it take anymore. I'm like, and you got R-Truth and Goldust still around and, like, the Big Show and Kane.
Kane
and,
is like,
even yeah, and even kind of, yeah, AJ Styles is not a spring chicken. Bobby Roode's 40. I never heard him say Bobby Roode's old. I know he has a good hairline and good for him, but it's kind of like even the young folks like the Dolph Ziggler, like even like the Dolph Ziggler's in them like mid to late 30s, you know, yeah. Like it's more people that's closer to 40 than closer to 30 on that roster, yes. Whole lot more. So,
I have heard the Bobby Roode and AJ Styles stuff. I've heard like that's why they're nervous about pushing them, and it's like, are you kidding? And it goes back to the TNA thing. They're a young 40, and they're a young 36 or whatever. AJ Styles, what, 39? Whatever it is.
Like 38, 39.
Yeah. Because even the Japan run for AJ Styles, he didn't wrestle all that much. They just didn't do that over there.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, that's the whole thing. Ageism is a bitch. And unfortunately, it's like something, I guess, because it's in a business where it's kind of like body beautiful thing. And Randy Orton has talked about, you know, how the older you get, the harder it is to look a certain way. And, yeah, but I was like, if you can still do it. And it's funny where even the mental circumstance have to deal with that, because it's kind of like, you know, you got to start wearing singlets and stuff and everything. But I'm like, if in the entertainment business, you got all these old-ass men that's running around still pretending like they're 20, 30 years old. Like, Liam Neeson became an action star when most people start getting AARP.
Yeah, have you noticed he's in another action movie now?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll probably run less because it's on a train. Like, so
yeah,
it's kind of like, I guess is this, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I did this movie with the director on Nonstop was a plane. It worked, so let's do a train this time. I'm sure the next time I'll be a bus. So
yeah. I don't know if you can do buses, man. That's a toughie. I mean, speed. But Speed was a long time ago as well. But and to go back to the original point of this, the one thing I enjoyed, and this is why I didn't talk to Kevin about it, when Daniel Bryan, you know, at the end, they were disagreeing or whatever, and Daniel Bryan goes, and Shane's like, yeah, surprised Raw didn't retaliate, and Daniel Bryan, or maybe I got it backwards, one of the two, he's like, yeah, they didn't retaliate, and then Daniel Bryan goes, yeah, it's not a matter of if, it's when. So now you've automatically got people hooked, you know, to come back to see if that happens. I thought that was pretty smart.
Yeah, because you know it's going to happen, but you don't know when. And it's like that foreshadowing is perfect about that. Yeah. So it's like they're doing a better job than normal. And I know people made a joke about it. It's like, it definitely made me notice because I wasn't expecting, like, you know, the whole roster just. You don't see one roster jump another roster. You'll see like a group of people jumping one person or like a group of people like that. Not everybody on the damn show get on the bus. We going to jump the whole damn show.
Yeah.
And like not just the guys, the women too. And like everybody kind of being like, you know, we doing this. It's not a personal rivalry you're going to put on the side. This is about the brand. And people saying, well, why would they do that? And I'm like, because Shane's their boss and he paid them. Like, it ain't that many. It's not like they, oh, I'm good friends with Dean Ambrose, so I'm not going to do anything to him. It's like, most of the people on the shows kind of travel together with friends anyway.
Yeah.
So I could believe the New Day jumping Apollo Crews. Why make me think they friends with Apollo Crews? They don't ride together. What, could they both black?
I love the fact that Xavier acted like they were old friends, they're all back together, and they're all happy to see each other, and then immediately start punching them. I was like, I've been thinking about the New Day and where they're supposed to go now, and I always saw them breaking up. I know they said years ago they don't want to break up, whatever else. Big E would be the one to do it, and he'd be like the killer. He'd be the killer guy, and then it'd be his rocket, basically. Kofi is Kofi. Like I don't dislike him as much anymore, but I'm also not like a huge fan. But then, really, you gotta do this right next to me, huh? Dick. Anyways, but then there's Xavier. And this is a compliment. Xavier's a little pisshead. Like the way he did that, and then he remember when they start getting big, he was the guy that was the instigator all the time. With that stupid trombone. He was the one that started doing his dancing. All that stuff. That was all Xavier. So I can see him almost, and again, this is a compliment, even though it's not going to sound like one. I can almost see him being like Enzo.
You know, I was thinking the same thing you were thinking when you said that. Like, you said the exact same thing that was on my head, and I was kind of like, you know what? even though it doesn't sound like a compliment at first, it's definitely a compliment. I guess it's kind of like they, like Kofi's established at this point, like, you know, he's not going to ever be world champ, but he'll be in the Hall of Fame as soon as he retires. Like, he's held almost, somebody made a good point saying, like, it was a good chance if you turned on Raw, SmackDown for like a good 8-year period, Kofi Kingston had a belt. Like, you know, whether it was like a tag team belt, yeah, U.S. belt, or IC belt, like Kofi, like Kofi's basically been Tito Santana for like 10 years before this, even before the New Day stuff. It's like he always had a title, even like, even if he wasn't in the main event, he was always doing something. So Big E is kind of funny where he has the look of a monster, but he doesn't have the personality of one. Like, even when they tried, it's like you would think he'd be like this big killer guy, but he's a goofball. He just doesn't look like one. Xavier has got a lot. Like, Xavier's sneakily athletic. It's just hard to notice because it's kind of like he's around Big E and Kofi that are super athletic. So it's like, okay, can this guy hang? It's like he's a lot better in a ring that people kind of give him credit for. He can definitely talk his ass off. And people point out, like, how smart he is. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, who knows? They have options. They want to do something. I do want to point out one thing. I don't know if you've watched SmackDown. I was laughing my ass off with the Usos on commentary.
Yes.
They were so damn funny. And part of me was thinking, like, all these years you had them, you never let them talk.
That's exactly, yeah. Like, when they were on Talking Smack, and they were talking about how people were like, man, we didn't know where you were. And it's like, guys, I understand you thinking that, but people who say that aren't wrong. Because you know, the writing staff, whatever, they didn't let you do anything. So now that you can, a lot of people are surprised. I think that's a legitimate a legitimate thing to say.
And just have, it's basically them being themselves. Like, I was rolling, this him making fun of, like, how Chad gave him to him, you gotta say his name right, Shelton Benjamin, and just doing it over and over again. Like, it was just hilarious. And then Cole said something, and it was, like, almost obscene sounding. And, like, the Usos, like, it was, like, I forgot what it was. But Cole said something. It was, like, a 4 or 5 second pause. And then one of the Usos was, like, what you say? Like, it, I forgot what it was. I wish I remembered. Because it was, like, it was real, like, dirty sounding. But, it's like, Cole didn't even realize it. But, no, I love them on the mic because they got the ring chops to back it up. They're still these tough guys. They're funny. Like, and not, like, cornball funny, like, natural funny. And I love that dynamic between them and Shelton and Gable, because they would point out, like, you know, Shelton, like, they cheated. We got to make sure we cheat better. Like, little, like, they was basically, like, smart. Like, you know, pointing out there like that, you know, you got everybody worried about Shelton Benjamin. You got to worry about Chad Gable. He might be short. He can suplex you out your shoes. And it's like, look, Cole, they cheated. You going to call about that? Like, you got to watch them for them. So, oh, man.
Yeah.
So,
there's a lot of good in there. But it's like we just finally got a chance to see it. And I finally found the Dana Brooke Flash one. That's a good one. Have you seen the Boys in the Hood one?
Oh, I saw that too.
Oh, I was like, oh my God. Who is that getting shot? Is that Morris Chestnut?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've seen that, so I couldn't remember.
Oh,
Johnny, poor, right?
Poor Dana Brooke. It's kind of like, That's the funny thing about social media, that the fact that that's a thing, and it's like, all she did was run away, and it's kind of like, you put that on the internet, and they're going to have fun, because it's like one of the top trending topics on Twitter for a while was like, Dana Brooke running.
Yeah. At the same time, if she's smart, she's going to figure out how to turn this into something, and I understand she's got to be on TV to turn it into something, but that's just how it goes, and also, this thing will fade quick, so jump on it now.
Yeah.
You know, don't be embarrassed by it. Laugh. Like, yeah, they got me. You know,
yeah,
whatever.
No, might as well laugh about it.
Yes.
Like, it gets you in the, like I said, if anything, watching Breezango and Ascension Souls, that being on TV and being talked about will get you places, because they don't even wrestle anymore. And they get pops as soon as, like, their names come up.
They've even got the Ascension getting pops now.
Yeah. I don't know how the hell that happened. Like, It's the ascent, like, it's these two bums that never did anything.
Well, and see, that's not true, because in NXT, they were the hot shit in NXT, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And
I remember.
They got the WWE and just, you know, whatever. That happened.
Yeah, they went to WWE. It's kind of like, you can't be these big, like, you these big monsters. You come to the main roster, and you don't look big anymore. So that's basically what happened. It's like, you can't, like, Taz looks real big in ECW when he's suplexing guys that's like 5'7 and 5'8. When he's wrestling people that's like 6'4 and 6'5, then it's like, oh, well, he don't look that. Now he just like a fire hydrant.
Well, it's kind of like that's the one guy, not Connor. He looks like a big ass dude, but it helps that, you know, Johnny Curtis and Brazongo, those two guys aren't like hugely big. They're just like big wrestler guys, but not giants. That's for sure. Like, not muscle heads. So, but it just makes them, it makes them look that much bigger. Now, Victor has never really looked like a monster to me, but, you know, good for him. So, anyways, all right, let's get off of wrestling for a little bit before we lose everybody right away. So right before I got to the gym, you sent me some promising news. So I did a little reading. Now, DC Comics was supposed to have another Batman movie. For all intents and purposes, there's still going to be another Batman movie that's going to star Ben Affleck. Well, it was supposed to have Deathstroke in it. Well, they've scrapped that entire script, new director, everything. Well, in Raid 3 news, the Raid 3 still isn't going to be around anytime soon because Gareth Evans is attached? Rumored? I mean, I was reading, and it says in development with Gareth Evans, and it's like, that doesn't mean, you know, he agreed to do anything. So, I'm very wildly optimistic about this thing, because a Deathstroke movie is going to be difficult anyways, so you got to have a guy that can build a lore around it, and that's the guy. Just, if you've seen the Raid movies, you know what we're talking, especially the Raid 2, you know what we're getting at.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's still going to... How do you say that guy's last name? Joe what?
Manganiello?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. That's why I didn't bother trying to attempt it. If we just change everyone's last name to Smith, it'd make my life a lot easier. Then I'd still figure out some way to mess that up, too. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, is this something that... I mean, obviously... As you pointed out, what I was going to say, yeah, I want the Raid 3 first, but I don't know. A Deathstroke movie would be cool, because we've already seen how cool it can be on Arrow, so now give a big budget and a director that can sink his teeth into, like, Shades of Grey and that sort of stuff.
I have two thoughts. The first thought is kind of like, DC... I told this to a friend on Twitter. DC reminds me of that drunk frat millionaire guy that brags about how he's going to, like, update his bathroom for a house that he hasn't even bought yet. And it's kind of like, because it's like, you got all, like, they have all these plans and they're rumored to do this and do that. And stuff, like, sounds interesting, but it's like, get Justice League right first. Like, you talking about something that, you know, even the way you described it, kind of like, they hired Joe Manganiello to be Deathstroke in a Batman movie. And then they had to rewrite the Batman movie with a different script, and you don't know who's going to be in that one or not. But we still going to keep you around, and we're going to have you do a Deathstroke movie with Evans. When is it going to come out? I don't know. It's going to come out. It's like, it's something that sounds cool, but it's kind of like, I got a... That's like something talking about somebody building an infinity pool and they don't even, they're still in college. Like, yeah, that sounds cool. Call me when you close. Like, it's just too much. It's too much mess and too much noise, and it's kind of hard to separate the overarching noise of Warner Brothers and DC from the idea of that movie. Because the movie can be cool, and we both like Gareth Evans. He's a great action director, and he can do a lot with a little bit of money, so imagine we can do with a lot of money. So that part I definitely agree with. The other thing is, it's kind of like, it's tough doing a movie with a non-hero as the lead.
Yes,
very. And nice. I mean, Deadpool, they pulled that off. I guess Blade, if you want to call that, like, you know, is Blade an anti-hero? I guess it's kind of like they pulled that off with him. Ghost Rider. Yeah, some people like it more than others. It's kind of like, yeah, the wrestling, I know. You've seen Suicide Squad and how that was, and it's kind of like, it's hard to do. And you notice, like, a lot of people are doing it now, because you got this one, you got the Venom movie that's actually being a thing. Like, that started being in production, so it's kind of like...
And, well, see, you know, I thought they scrapped that one.
No. They...
Oh.
They did not, I mean, you got Tom Hardy and the director of Zombieland, then it's kind of like, that's what got people waking up. It's like, oh, so you really doing it. It's like, because Tom Hardy wouldn't waste his time doing something that he didn't think was going to happen, because it's like, he works. And he can kind of pick and choose whatever he, like, he doesn't have to suffer for a role. He can do whatever he's one of those actors where he can basically do what he wants to do, because it's kind of like, he does TV shows, he does movies, he'll be in big budget things, or he'll be in stuff that gets nominated for Oscar, with him being nominated for Oscar. So it's like, the fact that they announced him being as Venom was kind of like, wow, that kind of woke people up. So, yeah, like, I guess it's this whole thing, like, you know, Deadpool works, so it's like, oh, maybe we can do the anti-hero thing, and let's do that. I'm at a wait-and-see thing, because it's kind of like, it's been too many plans with DC that sounded cool that never came to fruition. The Flash still doesn't have a director. You still don't know what's going on with the whole Shazam Black Adam thing, except for a bunch of noise. It's like, I take it a movie at a time.
Yeah, okay, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's something that we actually forgot to bring up last week. So when we were talking about The Rock being in this movie, he's also, when the hell is he going to have time to be Black Adam?
Yeah, he only needs 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah, well, I guess so. Yeah, those Samoan chicken breasts or whatever he's taking. But, you know, and that's the thing with DC. I think a lot of this is a response to Marvel. I mean, you know, we joke about how Marvel's got every black actor in, you know, in Hollywood in Black Panther. As it stands right now, any black actor with a name, yeah, they do. So, I mean, outside of Denzel, obviously, because Forest Whitaker's even in that movie, which I routinely forget about.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, they're just trying to get everybody up to snuff and get people under contract, which,
yeah,
you know.
It's... But my whole, and we talked about this too, like, you got The Rock, use him. It's the damn Rock.
Yeah, like right, like, now, use him.
Like, The Rock, when we people say he's the biggest, probably if one or 1A biggest star in Hollywood, that's not hyperbole. He is.
Yeah.
Like, so.
Whether people want to accept that or not.
Yeah, and you have him, and you like, oh, we'll get around doing it when we're doing it. It's like, you had him, you had Will Smith, you wasting time messing around. Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, you have these big, it's kind of like, it's different if you had, like, see, that's the whole thing where Marvel kind of was smart about stuff compared to even DC or Fox. They built their movies and put people who thought they'd be the best roles that weren't necessarily, like, big stars. So if it worked, it's kind of like, you know, we don't have to change the script based on the star thing. With the exception of Robert Downey Jr. after, like, Iron Man being a hit. Because the rest of kind of like, you know, Chris Evans, Chris Hemsworth wasn't really a name. Paul Rudd wasn't a big deal. Even Benedict Cumberbatch. It's like, they can show up or whatever. Fox issue with the X-Men was, you know, we got our biggest names and stars, not necessarily like the biggest stars. It's kind of like, you can't do a thing with Cyclops when Wolverine's the big star, and you got Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen. And then the whole First Class stuff is like, it's the Mystique show because Jennifer Lawrence became a star. And Michael Fassbender's a star. So it's like, you got these big names, and you got to do the movies based on them. And it's the same thing with kind of like DC, where you have these big names, and like, even now, like, even the ones you didn't think of big names, like with Gal Gadot being Wonder Woman, it's kind of like, you got to use them.
Yeah.
So if you're going to, and it, at least it helps there with the big names, like in big roles. Like, it's not like Gal Gadot was this big star and she's playing like some no-name third string hero or something like that. At least she is Wonder Woman and she became a star being a Wonder Woman. But like, you got to use it. You got Ben Affleck, you use him. You got The Rock, and he just, oh, we'll get around to it after we figure out what we're going to do with The Flash and Cyborg and this and that. And it's like, you know, you don't want it to be 3 years from now. You still talking about you're going to do this movie, because he's going, like, he'll pop up at Marvel with the quickness, like, you know, see you later. Like, I got stuff to do, and I need to get in a few more movies before I become president, because I'm getting kind of old. So, yeah. And it's just like, I just want to see how Justice League is. Like I showed you, like it's gonna be two hours. And on one hand, good, because that used to be the sweet spot for movies anyway, was like 2 hours. And it's kind of like this whole 2 hours or 20 minutes, 2.5 hours thing that's normal is like, that's a long ass time. And I know you brought the point saying like it's, you're trying to fit a lot of stuff in to a short time frame. And I'm like, maybe it forces them to streamline stuff.
That's a hope too. Like, we didn't really dwell on it too much. I figured we'd talk about it anyways. But yeah, that was my first concern was, wow, it's a lot of characters that we don't know. Well, I mean, I guess Batman, what else do you really need to know? So you don't have to spend a lot of time. Wonder Woman just had her movie. So you got to concentrate on, what, Flash, Cyborg, and...
Aquaman.
Yeah, but then clearly they're going to mix in Superman stuff. So at least that's established, but I guess they're going to have to show you somehow how he comes back. I guess. Spoilers. And I don't know. And then, yeah, it can be done, but it's still the, you know, hey, is that burner still hot? I don't know. Try it. You know what? I'm just going to put it in the microwave instead. Like, I don't want to take any more chances with this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've had enough.
And it's kind of like, people kind of like, you know, the whole thing is like, they doing embargoes, they releasing like review embargoes kind of late as people worry, because normally you do that when you're not sure about your movie. Because trust me, because you notice the movies, people who sure about the movies, you see reviews like 2 to 3 weeks. Like when Wonder Woman, you saw reviews super early, and people was kind of like shocked, like saying, oh, well, you know, I can't believe that because this is like that. And you know, like Logan reviews came out early, and it's like, the reviews were so good, they hyped up the advertiser for the movie, and they started bragging about it. And I noticed in Marvel, they don't even worry about reviews, because at this point, it's like, our movies speak for themselves. Movies who tend to high reviews normally do it for a reason, and I think it doesn't help with the negative press that Ben Affleck and Jason, like, they not even doing, like, a North American, like, press junket, and it's kind of like... because of all that mess with like Ben Affleck to a small extent, Jason Momoa is like, you don't, it's just a lot of noise around this, and everybody's kind of like, you know, I hope, but I don't know. And it's hard to get the benefit of doubt, because beside Wonder Woman, why would you, even under normal circumstances? And the fact two people, and the fact that like this movie is directed by two different people, just shows it's not normal circumstances. So yeah, we keep saying the same thing. Like, I hope it's good. I have no clue. And I don't blame anybody to be skeptical at this point.
No, I think that's going to be a healthy dose of skepticism going into the movie. But what do we got, a month now before that's out? We got Thor next week.
We got, like, less than a month because it comes out the 17th. So, like, all right. 3 weeks.
Oof. Well.
We'll find out.
Yeah, that's really it. Okay. Obviously, we can't review Arrow because this came out too soon. Supergirl, Flash, and Legends all have been out.
Uh-huh.
I think Legends has turned into my favorite show of the four.
Yes. A lot of people have said that, and I've been saying that since season two. And it's funny how that happened, because that was the worst one of the four of season one.
Yes.
And shows improve. Shows normally don't improve that much, like, in a short time frame. Like, it went from a bad show to a very good show in like a season. And like, now it's fun. That's why I just like it. Like, they know what type of, they know it works, and they embrace it. Like, it's a goofy show. They play fast. Like, it's kind of like they lean into the characters. They know it works, and they play it up. And that's it.
And what was funny, like, this week, what really stood out to me this week was they went back. They went forward in time, because you had it backwards. And Mick's walking around, and they're like, do you guys notice that? There's no, like, cops or whatever, and he's like, pigs. He just kept calling them pigs the whole time. And I was like, god damn. Like, you know, current climate and all that, stick up for the police, Blue Lives Matter, all that stuff. And here's a show that's supposed to be kind of whimsical on most parts. This guy is just flat out calling the cops pigs.
Yeah, like, and I know, then, like, I know police state when I see it.
Yeah, and then he's at the bar, and he calls a water bitch, Which I can't remember. When did they fight another water person? I don't remember that.
They did. I can't remember either, okay. But I know they did.
All right, because I was racking my head on that one, and I just didn't bother to look it up. But then he goes, "Yeah, another water bitch," and the bartender goes, "Like, not you, honey." Like he's still a slime ball, even though, you know, he's supposed to be the hero now, and you forget that. So when something like that pops up, it's like, God damn! Oh yeah, yeah. Well, he's a bad guy. That's right.
Yeah, like I'm not a hero. I just got friends that are heroes. So yeah, it's kind of like they don't run from their characters. Even like they doing heroic stuff, they don't pretend like it can be easy to make Mick like, oh, he's just a lovable goofball. Yes. Like no. He's still cool, but he's still a dick. And, like, he was getting mad. Like, the scene when they fight, he kept trying to shoot somebody with a gun, and they kept jumping in. He was just getting pissed off, like, I wanted to get one. And, like, they was playing, like, a running joke. Like, every time he's about to shoot somebody, Sarah was like, no. Somebody else was like, no. And it's, like, little stuff like that where they play. Like, they have great chemistry together.
Yes.
And it's definitely, like, noticeable. And they have the perfect amount of character. They don't have too many. They got enough. They got just enough for everyone to get their shine. Like, they all, it works. I like the new member, like, to see where that goes, because that's different.
I forgot that was Isis from Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. They're sure as shit not going to call her Isis, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I like the whole fact that they, like, oh, you know, she did it, like, shoplifting, hacking, and also some religious stuff. Like, you know, she's a Muslim, and there's no religion in this time frame. Like, wow. That's something like there where they lean into those tropes. They didn't hide away from like the whole vibe from it. And I don't know if you noticed, like, the water woman they fighting, that's Vixen's granddaughter.
Okay, that's what I thought that was. But yeah. They didn't make it clear, so I didn't mind that.
Yeah. And the only hint you gave when she was in there talking about, you know, I'm not going to try to kill you because that would just be me killing myself. And it's like, you wonder what she means. Like, she was on the animated show.
Yes.
Yeah, so... And one, like, yeah, she is a looker. Like, you know, she's definitely not ugly. I'll say that much. And I just like the whole, like, you know, the whole thing with the show and, like, the vibe where you got the Time Bureau in the future kind of, like, being the antagonist, but not really. And that game of chicken, those Sarah and that other girl kind of, like, either y'all going to fight or y'all going to kiss. What y'all going to do? Because every episode they had so far has been like a pissing contest, like, you know, who's got the biggest balls. And they've been playing it up. And I like it, like, it's a slow burn about who the villain is. Like, you get glimpses here and there, but you don't know. And it's like they build into it. Like, you wonder what's going on, but you're still doing the show.
Yeah, that was my thing. I was like, wait a minute, they've never really acknowledged that there's a big bad. Like, they've hinted that there's something coming, something's coming, but they've never revealed it or shown any of it, which is weird for these shows, because most of the time they do. So, like Flash, we know at least it's the Thinker and his motley crew of bus people.
But even then, that's been slow. And, like, you know, but to finish off with Legends, I like where they're going. I like that they're having fun, and they're not afraid of having fun.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, I saw the previews for next week's episode. It's kind of like, we gotta save I always forget his name, the Adam.
Oh, Ray?
We gotta
save. What was that at the end?
I don't know if it's like he's got kidnapped by a monster or an alien or something. Tiger. Yeah, like, I didn't know what it was. It looked like something alien. It's not like, you know, I gotta save 8-year-old me. And it's kind of like, you know, it's going to be whimsical, it's going to be funny, it's going to be enjoyable. Like, they learn, like, it's no point in them trying to be super serious because the arrows around to do that.
Yeah.
Like, let them have fun and let them do fun things. And that's why it works, because it's kind of like they know what they are, they aren't afraid of being what they are, and they embrace it and they go all out. And it's simple. When you have that, you go with it.
Well, that's the other thing. When something dramatic happens on that show, it resonates more because of how whimsical it is. Because they don't have a lot of high drama on there. And when they do, though, it's like, oh boy. And then they, you know, they up stakes, people get serious, then you go about. But But it's just little things. Like, the characters grow, but at a real pace. Like, Sarah finally just getting annoyed with the Time Master chick. I can't remember her name. The Time Bureau, excuse me. And she goes, God, what a bitch. And or no, she goes, God, what a... And then Gideon says, bitch. She's like, yeah. Like, unapologetically. Because Sarah's kind of a shithead, too, if you really think about it.
Yeah, she is.
And, like, Ray's the innocent one. Steel's just... whatever. I mean,
he's kind of like... He's that... Him and Ray have a good rapport. Because, like, I like him. And it's easy... And it'd be easy to not like him. Because it's kind of like, okay, what does he do? It's kind of like, you know... Him and Ray have a good rapport there. Them being, like, goofballs together definitely works. It's funny where I can believe him and Amaya dating, even though, yes. Like, normally, like, you, especially compared to, like, when Ray was dating Kendra season one is, like, that just seemed like, nah, that's just some script magic. This one's like, you know, they have chemistry in a goofy way, but it worked. Like, he's likable.
Yes.
And, you know, and him being, like, you know, like, basically like a history nerd. Like, it works for a show where they go through history all the time.
Yeah. Well, here's the one complaint about the show, and this is my complaint whenever you see a movie, a TV show about someone doing drugs. I know you've never done that. So, I've been to college. We had different college experiences. You don't act that way when you're tripping. You don't. Well, that you don't, was driving you didn't take, me insane.
You didn't take what he took.
Well, that's true, yes.
I mean, he's taking some route from a place where a lady has a magical medallion that can turn into a tiger.
Yeah.
So, it's not like he took a mushroom. So I'll give him like credit for that, because kind of like, you know, you want to, of course, you're going to exaggerate drug use to a funny way for the comedic relief, like more than normally is. And I give him leeway because one is like it's a TV trope, and two it's kind of like. It is some weird shit. Like, it's not like they just took, oh, this is some Navajo weed or something. Like, no. It's not like they just took, like, a regular dime bag. So at least they can use that excuse. So that part didn't bother me as much as it normally would have.
That bothers me in all movies, because I'm like, these actors or writers or the director have never done the drug that they're saying the people are on. Like, what was the one in Transformers, the mom, when she ate a pop brownie and she's acting like she's on cocaine? And I'm like... I'm talking to my parents after going, that's not what happens. I was like, my parents grew up in the 60s. Went to school in the 60s. So, yeah, that's not how marijuana works.
Hey, but a lot of old people tend to let you know kind of like the stuff that we got is stronger than the stuff that they have.
It definitely is, yes.
So, yeah, so it's kind of like...
I was that, in school that, to now. Not that I know about now, just in case anyone think whatever. So,
yeah. Stunt Grand does not promote drug use unless you have a prescription, folks.
We don't drug test either, so there's that. Anyways, Supergirl I thought was solid. Like I said, do we really need another character though? So that was my only complaint. I thought the stuff with Maggie was actually pretty good, and I actually wanted to explore that more than anything else on the show.
Yeah, because it was kind of like more level-handed than normally, because it's like, you can understand, like, because the way she described her dad, you're thinking, okay, he's just a total dickhead. Mm-hmm. Like, he did this and he did that, how dare he? And then, like, you break it down, it's kind of like, he was, but it was like, he had a reason for it. He wasn't just being an ass to be an ass.
Yes.
It's like, you know, he was like, he felt in his right mind, like, you know, I did this because this was my justification. I went through all this so you wouldn't have to. So the fact that you did was kind of like, you know, that's the part that bothered me. Like, I made so many sacrifices. And now, that's how it is, the crux of the matter. For him, it was thinking like, you know, you chose to live this life. Mm-hmm. And it goes, the whole thing is like, you know, you don't choose to be gay. You're straight or you're gay. You just choose to whether you're going to, like, you know, follow that path or not. And it just goes into that whole conflict between that, and I like how they were more nuanced than a lot of shows would be, because it'd be easy to not be like, oh, he's just a closed-minded dick, he's just being an asshole. And it's like, he tried, but it's like, he has his own path that he walked that led him to feel the way he felt. And you can agree or disagree, but like, he wasn't just being that way because he wanted to be an asshole.
Yeah, I like the fact that the mom didn't show up because of that. And they also didn't... They tried to a little, but it wasn't resolved. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't come back and go, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong, blah, blah, blah. And she wasn't automatically okay with it. She was still hurting about it at the end. Supergirl doesn't do that very often. They almost always, you know, they try to resolve shit in every single episode, and everything's fine, no matter how heavy it was. So it was nice to see that carry over, even if they tried to change it at the end about the kids thing. And I'm like, okay, so this is how they're going to get rid of Maggie now. So, all right. And it's funny, because it's actually a relatable thing for me, because when they're, like, they're talking about the kids thing, and they got engaged and all this, and, like, most people, I think, would think, you didn't talk about kids before? Like, before you guys got married, you didn't talk about kids? Yeah, the first time I got married, we didn't really talk about it, and, yeah, that didn't work out. So, you know, it is what it is, but it was, like, it seemed like a more adult, for a change, it seemed like a more adult show. And I think that's why I liked it. I mean, the only complaint is Supergirl herself in this one. Just giving the Martian dad the pep talk. Like, okay, whatever.
I did laugh when she distracted him with the Britney Spears song in the car. And I don't know why I laughed. Because, like, it was just so... I was not expecting that. And it just kind of threw me off. And it's funny where she's basically like a side character in her own show, but yes, it worked, because between the stuff with like Maggie and her family and the stuff with Johns and his dad, I like a nice touch that Carl Lumley was his dad, because he was the voice of Martian Manhunter on Justice League, and he kind of like, you could see him looking like David Hayward's dad in real life, even though they probably like kind of close in age, or closer in age.
Yeah.
And that was kind of heartbreaking, like, you know, you broken me, like, you bringing me here. You can't be my son. My son wouldn't run away and be a coward. That's how I know you gave yourself away. And, like, ooh, like, that's, yeah, part of that episode was tough. I know we talked about it on the chat, and you said they kind of mentioned it. Why were they all black?
Here's the thing. This is what I took from it. When Megan, she took off to Earth. She ran, right? Make sure this is an important part of the story. So when she came back, she took human form. Why? I don't know. But when John went to go see his dad, and the dad said it's customary to take the form of the people there, and he turned himself into another black guy.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking happened, is Megan went back. She was a black female. That's what they decided. Now, why they look the way they do, I don't know. I guess it's just what they figured to do.
It's just noticeable, because that makes sense, but it's kind of like, you don't see that in sci-fi a lot.
Right. It stood out to me, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know, like, I was watching this, like, within, like, 3 seconds, I'm like, that's interesting. Like, you know, they all, like, black.
Yeah.
And you don't normally see that. Like, oh, okay, like, I'm glad I got to see black people in space, but like, it definitely wasn't expected. So, yeah, I like this episode was kind of fine, because, like, you know, a more character driven episode. I doubt John's dad is going to be like a big part of the show, so I'm not worried about them adding extra character. Like, you know, he'll pop up when he pop up, and yeah. So it's like, we'll see what happens, you know, in the following weeks.
Yeah, I'm just hoping we don't get the fish out of water humor stuff with the dad getting, oh, look at this. I'm still, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, have they ever introduced John's obsession with Oreos?
I do not believe so.
Okay, and I actually just got, if you ever want, it's huge, but I got the Justice League International America Europe Omnibus the other day, and it's fantastic, and they finally collected it. Well, in it, they gave, you know, it was kind of Martian Manhunter, John John's coming out party. He'd always been around, but never to the depth that they gave him in this series. Well, they gave him, like, an obsession with Oreos. And then they also, they revealed like his real form. So where he like his Martian Manhunter form, he took that to make him more appeasing people, because he didn't want to look like Gumby basically. So that's when he was first revealed on Supergirl. I was really excited because I'm like, oh wow, they're taking that stuff and applying to the show as they should, because it makes sense and it's for DC Comics pretty iconic now. But that's what I'm wondering, like if the dad and stuff, if that stuff's going to happen, if they, the dad's going to have, his little Oreos obsession, if you want to put it that way, or him discovering, Earth food, that sort of stuff. That's the kind of comedy I'm wondering we're going to get. But, or he gets killed off during the invasion thing, whenever that happens. So.
Yeah, because that'll be coming up sooner rather than later.
Yes, I think in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because if you noticed on Legends, I forgot to bring this up, Stein's barely been on. Mm-hmm. And they even said, where is he? I mean, he was back talking to Vixen. Can't remember her real name.
Amaya.
Thank you. All right. I had it right.
Yeah, like he's there, like he's popped in here and there, and like, because it's kind of like, it's funny where he was barely in the episode, and you see, can't form Firestar without both of them, so you see one of them at the ship chilling, and the other one running around like...
Gun.
Yeah, basically being Harriet Tubman. as he always does. Like, if you seen what I seen, you'd have freed all. Yeah. I just want people to be free. At least the whole thing is like, it's not out of character, so it's like, on one hand, like, this is dumb, but it's kind of like, you can see why he did it, and he does stuff like that, and it's important to him, so it's like, yeah. So them adding them, I'm looking for, speaking of that and the whole invasion thing, we both saw The Flash, and
yep.
It's funny where you want to start an episode at the end. I cannot believe, like, I sent you the picture I took, because I just laughed so hard.
That was my favorite part of the episode, because it was utterly relatable.
Yeah, because yes. He's just going and going and is talking, and it's like, I'm pregnant. And he just had this look. And I like how they ended the show on that look. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just talking, like, Joe, can you hear me? And he's got this face. And I made jokes like, he dumped 18 years of child support with Wally. Wally's out the door. And now he's on the hook again. Like, let this middle-aged...
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, like, let this middle-aged man be. It's kind of like, Joe, y'all not using birth? Like, what are y'all doing? You grown.
Yes.
What, like, and I like how they just, like, one, that was just so, because it was, like you said, it was relatable. Mm-hmm. You see this middle-aged man that's living this weird life. It's like, you really want to bring a kid into this? But...
I mean, how long have they been dating? A year? 6 months? Something like that?
Well, they had a six-month gap between even the Speed Force and he came back. True. So it's funny. Tom is always funny on that show. So they've been together a while, but like I guess long enough to feel comfortable to have a baby with him, knowing all the shit he goes through. So I mean, they look fine together, and I like the fact that they're a couple, because it's like it's believable. And you have sex sometimes, you have kids. It was just so unexpected, because you wouldn't even think about that happening. And it was funny considering Wally's going his own way. So one door closes, another one opens. So it's kind of like the circle of life. And I know we like the whole part with Wally, because he made a good point. It's kind of like, I left and came back. Y'all didn't even notice.
I actually did notice that, though. Because I'm like, all right, all this stuff's going on. This plane's crashing. Where the hell's Wally at? And then when they said it at the end, I'm like, oh, all right. So Pussy Boy was out there whimpering on Earth, too, because his girlfriend broke up with him. That's cool. There's nothing like needing saving in Central City. Fucking douche.
I mean, wait. They got two heroes
Beat it.
There. So I know it's funny how many people hate Wally, and yep. I'm trying to think who what's the bigger hater group? People who hate Wally or people who hate Felicity? And it's kind of like it's neck and neck apparently. So, but it's kind of like, I've always had a soft spot for Wally, because the way his character is, he should be angry. It's like, he did all this shitty stuff because of his parents. Like, it ain't Joe's fault, but Joe wasn't there. His mom had all that problems. He just want to connect to his dad. He gets there, and it's, oh, Barry's so good. Barry's so cool. Barry. Like, you know, all this stuff. He just want to do something. He finally gets powers. He's faster than the Flash. They still like, oh, you know, you can't run. You can't embrace your powers. You can't do this. And then the Flash come back, and he just get pushing us. You know, he just get pushing aside. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'd leave too. Like, fuck y'all.
Yeah, your name's not on the marquee, kid. Peace out.
But like I say, everybody no one wants to be the sidekick in their own life story.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm overly harsh on Wally because the hell with him. But you see all this stuff going on, all this bad stuff going around, and he goes, "You guys didn't even notice I wasn't there." Well, he's got a point to a certain extent, but at the same time, hey, I'm about to die here. I got no powers. Oh, wait.
If Caitlin,
I got a sign fall on me.
Ugh. If Caitlin just vanished, somebody would notice. I'm not even saying Iris or Joe, or not even Cisco. If it was anybody else, it'd be noticeable. Yes. Where's Caitlin at? I hope she turned to Killer Frost again. Like, hell yeah. You have a crisis like that. Because think about it. They had this big time crisis. You would think having an extra speedster would help out. Yes. And no one even bothered.
Yeah.
Wondering where Wally was. And Wally's like, oh, I left and came back. Y'all didn't even know. They're like, oh. Like, if Justice League happens, like, oh, where's Batman? He's on a date with Selina. Like, maybe we'll call him later. We'll take it to Darkseid on our own on this one. Like, you would notice if, like, Batman or the Flash wasn't there on Justice League. It's like, oh, he's on vacation. So that part I kind of, like, stuck out. Because truth be told, I forgot about Wally, too.
No, see, even as much as I disliked him, I was like, where the hell is he?
Yeah. But... And I want to give credit to the Flash for them. It's kind of like, I think their whole thing is like, you know what? Let's go back to season one, because people like that. And it's kind of like, you know, we have our villain of the week. We do our fun stuff. And we have the overarching slow villain. We bring back Wells. And we bring back, like, a Wells that we've seen before. Because I like
that asshole too.
Wells. Yeah, I like him because it's kind of like he's an asshole, but he's like he's not completely just a prick. He's at least has some smidgen of likability, not a whole lot, but enough to, like, you know, you want to see him. And I always like his interaction with Cisco, like, so him being back part of the team definitely works. It's funny with that villain because the first thing I felt so much like a damn sexist. The first thing I noticed when she popped, I was like, wow, she's got a nice figure. And I kind of felt bad. It's kind of like I felt bad. Like, that's the first thought that popped in my head, even though it's true. And this her being like, you know, it's funny. She's like an oblivious villain. Like, you know, she knew something was up, but she was like a damn ditz.
Yeah, see, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Don't think for a second that a woman's not going to look at a guy and be like, oh, yeah, he's got to put it together. Yeah, no, that happens. That's not sexism. Yeah, I know what I like. So. Yeah,
but I like how when Barry sat down, I was like, oh, you know, he trying to flirt. He's like, oh, you know, that's nice. You're not my type. And like, you want me to wonder how I knew your name? And she shows the Starbucks cup.
Yeah.
like Barry's like, oh. And it's funny where she was so innocuous. You look at her, but her power is so damn dangerous. Like, just think about the whole, some of the simple, like, you know, her luck is good. Everyone else's luck is bad. And you got the Flash tripping over marbles. People knocking over windows, like some Final Destination stuff. And I don't know if he caught enough. You know that plane pilot was supposed to be, right?
Was that supposed to be, what, Sully or whatever? Or?
Yeah, I chuckled when I saw that. Talking about people think it's bad luck. What's the chance of a goose flying through a plane twice?
Oh, you know what? I didn't even pick up on that.
I did, and started laughing because I was like, wait a second. Like, they saw that line, because I didn't notice that first, and then I heard that line, and I rewinded and saw the pile. I like, y'all sneaky. Like, I caught that one. Just like when I was watching Legend Tomorrow, they talking about we're going to break into a prison. Yeah, Mick's like, oh, prison break.
Yep. Well, then that follows last week's with Martin.
And the Titanic.
Yeah. Which actually is a little more... I think a little more clever, a little clever. I don't know if I've ever used that term before, but I think that's how you say it. Yeah, because, you know, some people just didn't get that one, but if you did, it was pretty funny. So,
And I like how the fact that they acknowledge, like, okay, you may have seen these people on other stuff before that you've watched, so we're going to, you know, have these little end jokes here for you. And it's kind of like they play funny. Like, they do little stuff like that, but they don't beat you over the head with it. So I like that. I meant to bring it up because I remember you talking about the part you're like a Supergirl. I thought you were talking about the part where he's talking about a wall. Like, we built a wall cause to keep us out because they thought we were rapists. And like, it got me because I'm like, wait a second. Linda Carter's the president on this earth. So, and like, she's like super.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think about that.
And I'm like, she's super liberal, and Calista Flockhart is like her chief of staff or like press secretary. Like, huh? Like, that definitely stood off. Like, okay. Yeah, I'm like,
that's
wait.
That's a snafu.
I'm like, I get the idea, but I'm like, y'all ain't on Earth 1. Y'all on, like, liberal Earth. Like, I couldn't see Wonder Woman building a wall and hating the Mexicans. Like, she's an alien herself. Like, what are we doing? Like, what's going on? So, I definitely noticed that. Like, I got the idea behind it, but it just simply, like, that line didn't fit the Supergirl universe.
No, not at all. Actually, now you mention that, yeah, it doesn't fit it at all. Oh, good call on that one.
Yeah, and that's what I thought you meant, because it was kind of like, as soon as they said it, I was like, hold up a second. They not on Earth 1. I was kind of like, and you see the president there. It's like, you know, and she's this liberal such and such and such, like, you know, and Cat Grant is like liberal Magoo and works for the president. So, yeah, but beyond stuff like that, it's kind of like, I've definitely liked The Flash more this season. The Thinker's still, like, I'm wondering his whole thing, because it's kind of like, you know, it's funny where it's like a slow burn. Like, he has a plan. You don't know what his plan is, but you know something going on. It's like, he can acknowledge when something's going off. It's not like he's just, like, he doesn't make any mistakes. It's kind of like he has a plan, but he can adapt to changes in plan. So they don't make him, like, this whole, I know everything that's happening at all times and nothing can ever go wrong stuff.
Yeah, and that's why I liked when she said that, you know, you guys are pretty smart, and he goes, but I'm smarter. It wasn't like a panic, and it wasn't like, oh my god, I would have gotten away with it one for these darn kids sort of moments. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do with that, because he looks like a pretty feeble villain to where, you know, Barry finds him, all he has to do is run real fast with a screwdriver and take everything apart, and he's dead.
Yeah,
so,
but it's like, you gotta get to that point. That's the whole thing. It's kind of like his brain is what makes him formidable, because it's like, it's not gonna be a physical fight, and it's like,
yeah,
he's had, and it's kind of like, it shouldn't be. We've had three speedsters.
Yeah, and they said it's not a speedster, and it's good. So
yeah, that's good to see, and so I'm definitely looking forward to that. It's funny where we can't really talk about Arrow. I mean, you saw last week though, right?
Yeah, we talked about last week, I think.
Okay, so, no, we didn't talk about it on the show.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, I guess we can talk about it quick, because we've been going for a while.
That's all right.
Is no one going to notice the first time Diggle pops up that, okay.
No, we did not talk about the Arrow.
I may not know what he looks like, but I know he wasn't black.
Here's the thing about that. All right, you got that, obviously. Like, wait a minute, who's this guy? But then, you can't just say, hey, you want to be Green Arrow, and then, okay, I'm Green Arrow. The whole point of being Green Arrow is you use a goddamn bow and arrow. So is Diggle just supposed to be proficient with a bow and arrow now? I mean, we saw how long did it take Oliver to train to become that good?
Yeah.
That's a whole logically flawed thing, but then this isn't the first time, you know, a superhero gives up the mantle, and then, you know, it's only going to be for a few episodes, if anything.
And so, it's not the first time he's been Green Arrow for a short time frame. Like, I know Diggle's trained, but, like, shooting a rifle is different from shooting a damn bow and arrow.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, Diggle is injured, like, adds something to it. Because it's kind of funny. Like, this whole thing is like, you know, I need to tell the truth. I'm holding the team down. Because I was laughing my ass off at Dinah Less meme of, like, asshole, you're going to get me killed.
Yes.
Like, enough's a damn enough. And it's kind of like, you know, she was kind of saying, like, what's going on? I know something's going on. Like, she's trying to be understanding, but we're getting to feel like she's getting strangled because he got the, you know, the handshakes and everything like that. He doing the Muhammad Ali. It's like, okay, enough's enough. If you ain't going to say something, I'm going to say something, because I'm not going to get murdered because you being a damn Mimbo coward. Like, get over yourself and say what was going on.
So he had nerve damage, right? That's what they were trying to say.
Yeah, degenerative nerve. Like, it's, you know, it's getting worse, basically.
But then it's like, well, why would that make you not shoot people? Like,
it's probably a combination, like, he doesn't trust his aim.
Yeah, I guess. All right,
yeah, especially because, like, at first, it might, is it PTSD and everything like that? Then it's kind of like, you know, or maybe something's up with his aim and everything. So it's different when, like, he's just about to shoot one person. Like, okay, if he miss, he miss. And it's different, like, somebody grabbing Donna, he miss, he's shooting her. So, yeah, that was definitely noticeable. I like that fact. And it's kind of like, it's going to be a different dynamic with, because the other part I liked about the whole episode is, like, Oliver was acting smart.
Yeah.
He was, and it's like, you normally don't see heroes being smart, especially Oliver, because this whole thing is like, you know, I'm a lie and do dumb stuff because I think it's the best thing to do. It's like, no, I'm going to do the wise thing and listen and be responsible. Like, I can't be Mayor, Green Arrow, and Daddy. Like, that can't work. And I know it's easy to make fun of. His son got a point. He's like, I don't give a damn about you running around with a suit. Like, my mom's dead. Yep. If you die, I'm going to be an orphan. I don't want to be an orphan. That's real, like, that's real simple. That's easy believable. No one wants to be an orphan. Sorry, Batman. Like, that's not the way to live. That's not the way to live life. So, and we were both laughing. Renee's like, you know, part of being a good dad is lying to your child. Yep. Like, yeah, you're going to listen to the, yeah, that's true. Like, you're going to listen to the person that doesn't have custody of their child about how to be a father.
Yeah. I like that. I liked Oliver telling his son to punch somebody in the face. Because that's just not something you hear anymore. It's always like, well, you know, resolve this. Like, no, that's not how the real world works. And the other part that got me was, I just lost my train of thought, god damn it. Oh, well, when it comes to me, we'll figure it out. But, oh, I like how Oliver uses his pull as mayor and, like, unabashedly does it to get him another hearing. And then I really... And this is how it should be handled. Now, I know the FBI agent's not giving up the investigation. Okay, cool. She's an FBI agent. She should be, like, you know, you're right. I'm out of here.
Do you recognize her?
No.
She's the girl from... She was the trainer from GLOW.
You're kidding me.
That is her.
The tall... Wait, the part of the... Yes. I don't know, the ghetto moms or whatever they were?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That's nuts. No, I did not recognize that her at
I didn't
all.
I didn't recognize her at Crazy. First until I went on what's her face, the girl that plays Dinah, her Instagram, and they're together, and I was like, because they had like hashtag like GLOW, and then I went on IMDb and I was like, oh wow, that did not. And then yeah, they did not. She looks different. And the first thing I laughed is, like, when she popped up, I'm like, yeah, Oliver's going to be in trouble because you got a dark-skinned black woman with a natural haircut. She's going to be on his ass the whole season.
Well, like, I thought you meant Oliver's going to be in trouble. Like, hey,
yeah,
you guys want to be friends? Like, yep, there you go, Oliver. So,
but...
He's not Iron Fist, like, never mind.
Yeah, so that whole vibe is kind of like, you know, it would mean more if it was the first time his, you know, people were thinking he's the Arrow or something like that and everything. Like, they've gone this well before, but at least now it's kind of like, okay, I know what you did, but I'm not leaving town because you pulled this song and dance. I'm going to be around, and let's cut the bullshit out. So I like that part. You're wondering, like, how long, like, because Diggle can't be there too long because they're about to do the whole crossover thing. But you wonder how long they're going to do it, because not only the fact was kind of like, you know, how he going to run around a bow and arrow under normal circumstances. He's hurt. He's talking about retiring himself.
Yes.
And Oliver's like, oh, whoa, you know, you're my brother and anything like this. I need you to protect this city. And Dinah going to be sitting there the whole time like, I thought we talked about this. Like, she's in a tough situation where she should snitch, but it's not really her place to do it. But it's kind of like, you know, you can put the team in danger.
Yeah. And you can put the entire mantle of Green Arrow in danger, for that matter.
It's kind of like, what we do? And it's kind of like, it's a tough situation where if she tells, it's like betraying his trust, but it's like, trust only goes so far. You don't want the trust to be the part where, like, people dying. And I'll have to admit, I like Renee more. I never thought I would get to the point where I actually would tolerate Renee.
Yeah.
I like him and Quentin. Like, it's just something about the two of them together. And it's just one, seeing Renee in a suit that doesn't fit me and this whole City Hall guy is just hilarious. Like, it's just...
Excuse me.
It's just like the guy that's kind of like, you know, he was in juvenile detention and he's got like this intern job. And it's like he's this big time, I'm part of the mayor's office. How? Yeah. Like, he's, and, it's, and the worst, and the funny thing is, he's good at his job. And that's what's even funnier about it. It's just seeing him do that and then compare, like, and I like how he got an upgrade in the uniform, like his costume. He doesn't look like a damn gas station burglar anymore. So kudos to that. So yeah, like, I'm liking Arrow this season. It's been a different vibe. It's been kind of like more low key. So, and but that's good. Like, everything doesn't have to be like high stakes stuff.
Yeah, and I think just to wrap it up, the other cool part about Oliver in this is when he walks in, he goes, "Did you guys see anything on the news?" And then he just immediately just brushes him off, like, "Look, I'm the mayor of this town. I don't have enough time to run around at night playing Green Arrow." He's like, "That's just silly," which is exactly how he should have handled it. That's why I didn't think that reveal was all that big. Yeah. And then later on, when they go to the press thing for the Russians, Wachovians, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "Guys, I'm not here to answer anything. So if you don't want to, if you're this, all you're going to ask me is about this, then just leave." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's exactly like," and just go with me on this one. That's kind of like what I believe people think Donald Trump is like, or mm-hmm. was during the campaign, but way less charming.
Yeah,
you know, just, without the vitriol behind it.
He's acting how you would want a politician to act, yes. but they never do. Like, he's just straightforward and blunt, and yes. you're not used to superheroes being that way. Like, he's being reasonable. He's being real, and normally it's kind of like, you know, you didn't see that. You didn't even see that from him. Like, he's definitely changed from season one to now, like how he's grown up. It has definitely been, like, you know, noticeable change. So, yeah, I'm definitely digging. I like the whole stuff with Anatoly, because it's kind of like, you know, even Anatoly being a dickhead is like, even I have limits, because it's kind of like, I have honor. You know, like, you may think this way is like, you know, yeah. it's even like, I didn't do it because, like, I got a cold. You should know about that because we've been friends. Like, us being friends have caused me problems, so I got to do this. But in the day, we still friends. But it's like, think about what you've been doing. Like, you know, like, who are you to judge me with some of the shit you've done?
And it's funny because he, in the comics, he's another Batman character. He's the KG Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, the actor's age and all that, I can't see him playing that. Plus, it's also kind of a dated character, to be honest.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Batman.
And that was the last thing I was going to mention before we wrap up the show. We got our Bruce Wayne reference in the Arrowverse. When he's like, "Hey, when was Bruce Wayne in town?" Whatever. So, yeah, that was pretty noticeable.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, that's the first time they mentioned him. It's kind of like, you don't mention him. I know it's like, you know, it's part like he exists, but it's like, you mention him now, so people gonna start asking questions.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, no one CW, and I was like, if it works, it works. I'm just gonna be hilarious. Like, oh, the third lead from Teen Wolf is gonna be Batman. Like, is this some 22-year-old guy with damn moose? Like, oh, that's Bruce Wayne and stuff. It's like, we laughed at the choice they had for Superman, and Superman was awesome. So yeah. It's like, that, and it's funny the big, you know, them mentioning Batman, because for all intents and purposes, he was playing Green Arrow like Batman.
Yeah.
And it's just funny in this case, like, they kind of like loosen the reins before, like, you know, Batman exists, Superman exists in this world. Then sooner or later, it's like, okay, who else exists? This Wonder Woman. Like, you can see a point maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, with all these shows, like, you can have a Justice League of characters on CW. The fact that we're talking about that is still amazing to me, but it's like, it's the world we live in.
I'll be curious to see how long these shows are around. And I mean, just like you said, the guy that played Batman or Superman was awesome. So awesome, in fact, that he's not going to show up this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, hey, we'll see. But right now, gang, we are out of time this week. It's funny. I thought we talked about Arrow, which is why I didn't put him on the agenda. So, glad we did. Yeah, so Stunt Granny, all social media. We watch stuff on your podcast, whatever you decide to use. Yeah, that's pretty much it. We talked enough, so I'm out of here. Have a pleasant week, everybody, and take it easy.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dohadi, and you may see us unless DC decides to make a movie with us. We are out.